This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell.
Good evening, Brandon House in for Mike Lindell. We're going to try to secure Mike here in just a few minutes. He is en route flying from one location to another. If we can hold a Skype signal, we'll have Mike join us. We're going to be joined tonight by a very special guest, a historic interview, I might add. This is, as far as I know, the first time we've ever had the opportunity to interview a sitting Secretary of State. He's from the state of Louisiana. Kyle Ardoin is his name. And he's been making national news. In fact, I just read an article today. Louisiana Secretary of State Ardoin leads the way in retaining 2020 presidential election documents. That's an article from August 12th. Secretary Ardoin, welcome to the Lindell Report. Thank you for joining us tonight. Oh, we got one sec. Ready now? All right. We're trying to grab the Secretary of State, but I guess there's an issue. So while we're doing that, let me just remind you about the August event coming up, August 20 and 21. This is going to be a big deal. Now there are well over 1,000 registered. It's by invitation only. We got some pretty significant people that will be attending and taking part with the live event. Don't worry, we'll be live streaming it here all day that Friday and Saturday. All day that Saturday and Sunday. I think we'll even be streaming it on Friday behind the scenes, then all day Saturday, all day Sunday. So mark your calendar now for really the 20 and 21, but even the pre-show on the 19th. All right, joining me now is the great Secretary of State for Louisiana, the Honorable Kyle Ardoin. Secretary, welcome to Mike Lindell's broadcast, the Lindell Report. Mike should be joining us hopefully in a minute if we can get a signal with him on his plane.
Good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I was just reading this headline about you. Louisiana Secretary of State Ardoin leads the way in retaining 2020 presidential election documents. That's dated August 12th. Before we get into the ERIC system, do you want to tell us about this letter that you put out on August 10th?
Absolutely. So I've been meeting with patriots all across the state of Louisiana and interacting with experts from all across the country. And as the time frame for keeping the documents, as you know, is 22 months for the federal elections. As the deadline was coming, I wanted to make sure that we protected those documents in case there was any issues that came up that needed to be investigated, but also to lend support if there was anything that came up that we needed to be able to provide additional information from the state of Louisiana. So I've issued that. I'm also looking at a little bit more. Had some more communications with staff today, and so we're probably going to be issuing another call for additional documents to be protected for the 2020 election and moving forward. Both the letter that I've already issued and what I may issue in the coming days would also protect future federal elections so that we can make sure that we're able to document everything and to make sure that things were not fraudulently done beyond our capabilities as Secretary of State in Louisiana and our local election officials.
As the federal law, 22 months for holding that information, is there a state law in Louisiana for holding that?
The state law for state elections is actually only about 6 months. So there's no, we go by the federal law for federal elections. So the 22 months is it. But I've extended that indefinitely.
Okay. So again, if I ask you any question you can't answer, then you can just simply say, I can't answer that at this time and we'll move on. But because I know as an elected official, you have to sometimes keep some things to yourself and your team. But if you find that you have a voting machine company putting pressure on county clerks to delete information, what power do you have as Secretary of State for punitive consequences?
Well, interestingly enough, Brandon, we in Louisiana, we're a top-down state. So the parishes, which are just like counties in all other states, do not have the authority to make those decisions. Those decisions have to be made in my office, and that's why I put the letter out.
So, in other words, you have all the information. You have it all.
Yes, sir. I do.
Wow. Wow. You're in a very unique situation. Is that the case for any other states that you know of?
I'm not aware of. I know that there are some states that have a little bit more authority on the state level than on the local level, but not very many.
Okay. Let's go to this article at the Federalist. This is a very excellent article by Victoria Marshall at the Federalist. Came out on the 11th, yesterday. Democratic operatives control voter rolls in 31 states, report shows. And we went through this a little bit on the air yesterday. I know you're very aware of the ERIC system, which I guess the acronym for ERIC is Electronic Records something or another. What's the IC stand for? Do you remember?
So it's Electronic Registration Information Center.
Electronic Registration. Okay. So as I read through this article, I came across that name, David Becker. And of course, immediately they mentioned the People for the American Way. As I mentioned on yesterday's show with Mike, that's a group many of us, going back to the early 80s, I was a young man at the time, but I was very politically involved, thanks to my parents. And I remember Norman Lear and All in the Family and Maude and all those shows. And I remember hearing about People for the American Way pretty quick after it started, because it was really started to counter the religious right that had organized to help get President Ronald Reagan elected. And so here we are, the People for the American Way. Years later, of course, they start Right Wing Watch, and they have spent a lot of time attacking me over the years. And now I think I counted up 17 pages where they attack Mike Lindell. So this is the same guy, David Becker, who is involved with helping set up the ERIC system, according to this report. And yet he's also worked with apparently the George Soros funded People for the American Way and Right Wing Watch. So the whole thing seems very partisan, does it not, sir?
Well, it certainly does. Obviously, the concern that I would have is that you don't have to go very far back when George Soros attempted to take over Secretary of State offices all around the country. I think that was just a short 10, 12, 14 years ago. And so we really need to pay attention to what's going on. We've been sort of lulled after several Republican presidencies prior to the Obama administration, and then President Trump's administration afterwards. We always have to stay on top of things. And I will tell you, Louisiana, ironically, has been part of some pretty nasty federal litigation. Under the Obama administration, the Department of Justice attempted to ascertain our entire voter registration system. And they wanted not just the registration information, but they wanted the actual system. They wanted the entire keys to the castle, if you will. They wanted our system to be able to take it apart. And I think that the point is that they wanted to utilize the data inside it in order to further their agenda. And so we really need to be focused on where things are going from here. There's just been lots of litigation all around the country since the Obama administration in order to ascertain information on voters, to find new voters, to register new voters. We had instances where groups were in Louisiana during the first two terms of the Obama administration, trying to register voters, and we ended up with registrations for Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and others. It's just, it's very frightening what can be done. And so, those of us as secretaries of state that are trying to maintain our list registration, to retain integrity in our voter registration processes, and then maintain voter integrity in our elections, it's an uphill battle, because there's an unlimited number of organizations that want to sue us to change public policy rather than going through the legislative process. And when they aren't successful in the legislative process, they use the courts against us. And that's significant.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Secretary. Groups like the Clinton Foundation or Rock the Vote, or I guess any number of groups, some of them are I've read, had reported to me, accessing the voter rolls in some states and actually registering people directly onto the system. Is that what you're talking about the Obama administration wanted to be able to do in your state? And is this how you end up with Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse registered? And then can someone then turn around and vote for Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck?
Well, fortunately, in Louisiana, we don't have a lot of mail-in balloting. We have absentee ballot process where you have to make application, you have to fill out the forms, you have to have the appropriate documentation. But I will tell you, I think that they're looking for any way to manipulate the process or the system in any way possible. And of course, anyone can buy in any state, I believe, a list of registered voters. I think the thing about the ERIC system that has been most concerning to me is the eligible but unregistered individuals of which information is obtained. And then there's been some attempt by an outside organization with ties to liberal organizations to utilize that information. I was never able to get enough information that settled where I was on it. But I do respect my colleagues that are trying to reform the organization to make changes to make sure that either has not occurred or won't occur in the future. But my concern was the security of the data that I was putting forth for the people of Louisiana.
Has ERIC ever been used in your state?
ERIC has been used in our state. We joined in, I think it was around 2012. It may have been 2014. I actually think it was 2012 before I was secretary. And we've utilized it, and we've been able to take folks off the rolls, or we've been able to find duplicate registrations between our state and other states. But the concern raised in the Gateway Pundit and from patriots in my own state that brought things to my attention, really, I started asking the same security questions that many Americans have been asking about our voting system, about the ERIC system, and I didn't feel like I got the answers that I needed.
This article said, in the Federal said, a 2020 Judicial Watch study found that 353 U.S. counties had 1.8 million more registered voters than eligible voting age citizens. Notably, the study also identified eight states showing statewide registration rates exceeding 100%. Seven of the eight states are ERIC members: Alaska, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Rhode Island, and Vermont. For example, 40 out of 64 counties, Colorado counties, have more registered voters than eligible residents. And Colorado has been a member of ERIC for 10 years. Very troubling. Is there anything else you want to say about the ERIC system before I start asking you about machines?
Sure. I guess my concern would be if there were individuals that had left-leaning contacts that were able to utilize the data. Let me back up. I would say this, and a conservative individual, a friend of mine from the Conservative Partnership Institute brought to my attention. You know, the NVRA allows us to remove individuals from the voter registration rolls as appropriately. But 90 days prior to an election, they do not allow us to remove any individuals. And so as individuals are being added to the rolls, we have to try to be as diligent as possible to make sure that those registered individuals are, number one, legitimate. Number two, we're in a crunch of an election. But number three, if we're not allowed to remove people 90 days prior to an election, that's when the rolls could be most
Corrupted. So you could have the rolls corrupted in those 90 days, and you can't do anything about it in those 90 days. And then they can start voting for those phantom voters they put in there, right?
They could, depending upon the processes and procedures in various states. And I know I pride Louisiana on being one of the a gold standard in how we do it. We do not just automatically mail out ballots. We don't automatically mail out absentee ballot requests. You're required to send it in a request, and then the registrar validates that request. You have to have identifying information. You have to sign it under potential perjury of law, which would be a felony offense. And then additionally, we track the ballots, and we know how many should be coming in. And we also require, and this is the key point, and I think this is one of the things that really messed up the 2020 election. In Louisiana, we require all absentee ballots to be in by 4:30 p.m. the day before the election. If they're not in by that time, they do not get counted. Where in other states, you know, the courts allowed ballots to be counted days after the election. And yes. I think that's when we become, as I talked about with someone the other day, it becomes election season. It's not election day.
Absolutely.
And that's just not the way the system was meant to work.
Before I ask you about machines, let me ask you in regards to what you're doing, because you're obviously taking your oath very seriously. And as far as I know, and, you know, I helped Mike found Lindell TV some close to, you know, 18 months ago or more. I think you're the first Secretary of State we've ever had on the broadcast. So it's an honor to have you, to actually talk to someone who's in the office and learn from you, and to listen what you're doing, and to be able to hold you up as a model for other Secretaries of States. I know people right now are watching. I know Garland Favorito from Voter GA is watching right now, is going to come on behind you. And I know he wishes he had a Secretary of State in Georgia like you, because he said so a while ago. He's like, oh, wow, I can't wait to see this interview. So I know there are a lot of Americans around the country and patriots that are wishing they had you as their Secretary of State. And so you're taking your oath very seriously. But yet we see the federal government trying to say that people like you are trying to disenfranchise people, that you're somehow involved in insurrection or subversion, that if you question the election, that's, you know, insurrection. What do you make of these bullying tactics? And I think it's psychological, in my mind, it's psychological projection. It's putting onto people that something that may be in their mind, but certainly not in the mind of people trying to follow the letter of the law. What do you make of the terminology that's thrown around on people just simply trying to follow the law and have free and fair and clean elections?
Well, as you said, I take my oath very seriously, and part of my oath is to uphold any law that is passed by the legislature and the Constitution, both for the United States of America and the state of Louisiana. And I take that very seriously, and I've chastised even local governments who have passed resolutions seeking to not enforce laws, whether it be anti-abortion or what have you. The bottom line is, if I didn't follow the laws of the state of Louisiana, our elections would be chaos. Do I agree with all the laws? No, but the legislature is the policy-making body. I'm the executive branch officer for elections, and I pursue those very diligently. I seek to register any and all eligible citizens who qualify under the law and the Constitution. I just pushed a constitutional amendment that'll be on the ballot for December of this year that would prevent any local governing authority from changing the qualifications of registered voters according to our Constitution and our laws, which means that non-citizens would not be eligible to vote in any local elections regardless of what any local governing authority says.
Wow. I want to make sure I don't skip over that. Sorry for interrupting, but you're so proactive. You're so proactive. I guess I'm about to fall out of my chair. I mean, you're telling me you've just put up something that's going to be on the ballot in your state of Louisiana in December that says that the local election officials can't change the laws indiscriminately. This belongs to this body of the legislature. Got to be consistent with your state constitution. And you're not going to allow people to just come in there and vote as illegals, correct?
That is absolutely correct. And I'll take it a step further. Brandon, we passed prior to the presidential election, I was very excited about it, a law that prohibited ballot harvesting. And we didn't just say, you know, political candidates can't harvest absentee ballot requests or ballots for individuals. We went a step further. Political parties couldn't do it. 501c3s couldn't do it. 501c4s couldn't do it. And political action committees can't do it. The bottom line is, the only people that can bring in a ballot for an individual is a family member, which you can bring for two immediate family members. And you have to fill out a form. You have to show your ID. You have to explain what your relationship is to them. And you have to attest under penalty of law, a felony, that they asked you to bring their ballot in, and then we would be able to interview those people. And so that's it. That And if you bring one ballot for a non-family member, then you can't bring a ballot in for anybody else, but you still have to fill out the form. So we have a paper trail for that, and we don't have ballot boxes. I was sued by the city of New Orleans, the city council of New Orleans, to try to force me to put ballot boxes at every corner in their parish, and I refused to do so, and we won that, and I will continue to fight. What happened in 2020 around this country is just a travesty, a manipulation of election laws or the courts or what have you, changes that left the election or elections, I should say, as we know it, in the balance, and changed the outcome of an election, changed the rules at the last minute. And we just can't do that one way or the other. Republican, Democrat, independent, doesn't matter. We cannot allow changes to be made to the election laws right before an election, because then the whole game changes, and not everybody's aware of what those are.
Secretary, do you believe there was substantial fraud in the 2020 election?
I believe there was substantial manipulation. I absolutely do. I think that there were, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court allowed ballots to be counted after Election Day, which was contrary to what the Pennsylvania legislature passed and took effect in law. I think the governor either signed it or allowed it to go into law. I think there were manipulations all over the place. And quite frankly, the other tragedy of the election of 2020 was the influx of Zuckerbucks. That made a huge difference. And again, that the law that we passed in Louisiana prevented that from occurring on a drastic basis, because it was very clear that nonprofits were being used to manipulate the election, and only in certain demographic areas.
And I'm still trying to figure out, Secretary, as Biden wants to hire 87,000 IRS agents, I'm trying to figure out, why do they need 87,000 IRS agents? Number one, are they going to go after the middle class for some reason? Number two, I'm trying to figure out, do you not have enough agents right now to go to Mark Zuckerberg and his group and start figuring out how it is a 501c3? And I believe, as you just said, some of these groups are 501c3. 501c3s, they can't endorse candidates. They can't promote candidates. They can talk about policy. 501c3s can talk about policy, biblical worldview, Christian worldview, values, family values, whatever values they want. They could talk about that, as they understand it, all day long. They just can't get into the business of endorsing candidates, campaigning for candidates. So you're telling me that, we've got a 501c3 bringing in hundreds of millions of dollars to states through Zuckerberg. And I haven't heard hardly boo out of anybody on a national level that's a leader besides yourself saying, wait a minute, you're one of the few people that I've heard bring this up. I don't know how many leaders even know it.
Well, I think it's just so obvious that it's just been overlooked, quite frankly, because we're looking at the outcome of the election. We're not really looking at what were the effects of various organizations spreading money around the country for political purposes. It's been couched as the ability to deal with COVID. In Louisiana, we dealt with COVID with a separate absentee ballot application with additional excuses to vote by absentee. It did not create a voluminous amount of mail balloting in our state. And it still required you to apply for it. So we were still able to track it. And so when you look at things of how things came down, the problem is that we had nonprofit organizations involved in political exercises, they couched it as nonpartisan and for all people because of COVID. But when you look at the activities occurred in certain demographic areas. It was not across the board. Rural areas did not get the same attention as urban areas. I mean, that's just plain fact. You can look at how the money was distributed.
Yeah, we see that in Wisconsin. It's the Milwaukee, Green Bay, Madison, those kind of places.
That's exactly right. And had we allowed that to occur in Louisiana, through, you know, my efforts and our attorney general, we would have had the same effects. But it didn't occur because we wouldn't allow it to occur. And the attorney general is in a legal battle right now with one of the organizations that had the most money to spread around the country. The fact is that we have to be more diligent and make sure that election administration is not infiltrated. Sure, was it easy to couch the fact that the money could be used for helping people to be able to get to the polls or help people to vote during COVID? But the fact of the matter is, if you look at Louisiana and as an example, in the height of COVID, we had over 93% of the people in Louisiana voted in person, either early voting or on election day. COVID was not the reason. We had very few people, I believe it was about 1% or so, that actually used the COVID application. And we Wow. had such a political dramatization over those issues that it pitted the Democratic governor against myself and the Republican legislature, and as if we were trying to hold people back from voting.
And now, by the way, the CDC has dropped all the guidelines to say if you got COVID, you don't need a quarantine. So all of a sudden, woo!
Right. And look, we offered masks. We had more. I tell you what, I was telling people we had so much hand sanitizer. We could have used it as sauce on anything. We could have incorporated it into Cajun dishes. It was ridiculous how much we had. And we had strong support all across the state in order to allow people to vote in person. And it warmed my heart that people were willing to stand in line during 7 days of early voting, knowing COVID as it was, but wanted to make sure their vote counted. And that's huge.
It is huge.
And yet we had states that just opened up to mail ballots just willy-nilly. And I think that caused a lack of confidence in our elections because people weren't able to make sure that the integrity measures were still in place for the elections. And I understand that every state's got to make their own decisions and every secretary of state, I love my colleagues and I work well with them. But the bottom line is my mantra was the law is the law, number one. And number two, if we can do an emergency plan, we'll do so, but I'm not going to sacrifice election integrity. And for every expansion of opportunities to vote, I've got to have an integrity measure in place to make sure that the election is not wrought with fraud.
Wow. Brilliant to hear that. Okay, in the closing minutes, let me switch to machines. We played several clips here of you and then a state senator. She was wearing a beautiful yellow dress suit. I can't remember her name. You have to help me with her name, the state senator. Sarah Hewitt. She did really well. You did really well. We've played those clips several times. Logan, I don't know if we have the clip by ESNS or not. If you can tell me, that'd be great. But the ESNS guys admitted, did they not, Secretary, that all of these machines are vulnerable. In fact, here it is. Here's the clip. Let's play it, and then we'll have the Secretary comment. Watch this.
Now, some folks have claimed, academics, election system experts have claimed that ballot marking devices are inherently vulnerable to hacking or malware or tampering. All technology, whether it's your laptop, your phone, an ATM machine, or an X-ray machine, can have vulnerabilities.
Wow. And yet, Secretary Ardoin, we were called crazy, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorists, all kinds of names when we were saying, wait a minute, this was the case, you know, right after the election. And many, many people saying it before the election. Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, many are on video saying it years ago. How concerned are you about not only manipulation through ballots, but manipulation through machines?
Well, as chief elections officer, I have to be concerned about all of the above. And I have many sleepless nights. I think you can see because of the bags under my eyes. But the reality is that we have got, my staff have to look for every opportunity to give reassurance to the people of Louisiana that we're doing everything to uphold the integrity of an election. When we are dependent upon others, which in Louisiana, we do not allow our vendor to program any of our machines. They're not hooked up to the internet. But what I will say is this, we have to have a better testing system and process in place with the Election Administration Commission in order to feel like that we understand what has been tested and what has been certified. These companies have to pay for their own certification. I think that's a conflict of interest. I think there are many things that we can reform, but the bottom line is that we have to have some independent security in these processes. And I believe that we have to have a paper-based process by which we can provide for auditing of these machines. If states want to use machines, we should offer the opportunity of hand-marked paper ballots for citizens who want to use those, that process, because that they feel more comfortable with that. We've got a long way to go with this whole issue. And the reality of what the gentleman said from ES&S, that all systems are susceptible to some sort of compromised position. That's true. Electronics in this day and age is the same. But let me say this, and I've said this before the legislature. If my bank card or my savings account or my checking account is compromised, the bank has insurance. And they can make good on those compromises. There is nothing that I can buy in terms of insurance to ensure that a citizen's vote is accurately counted. And so if we don't have accountability and more transparency in how these voting systems operate, then we're not going to have confidence in our elections for quite some time. And that in and of itself will cause problems for our republic. And so we have got to come together as a nation and for all secretaries and local election administrators, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, whatever your political affiliation is, we should be thankful that patriots all across this country are asking questions. They're asking for transparency. I, like many election officials, took offense at first to all the accusations, because we had a good election in Louisiana. We do well in Louisiana, and we stand by our elections. And with our checkered past of many, many, many years ago, I think we're, you know, being seventh in the nation by the Heritage Foundation for Election Integrity.
Wow. Is true. How many years have you been the Secretary of State in Louisiana?
I've been Secretary of State now for 5 years.
Okay, so obviously you get a lot of credit for that. Let me ask you, I know I don't want to keep you much longer because it's a Friday night, you're tired, you've had a long week, but a couple more quick questions here, and we'll go to Garland Favorito because I know he's just busting to praise this Secretary of State that we're interviewing right now. You guys pretty well said to these guys, correct me if I'm wrong because it's been a few weeks since I watched the hearings, but I think you guys said, look, you guys have an obligation to tell us when you've got problems with your machines. Were you guys telling them that they're not always doing that? They're not always telling you they've got a problem and they're not providing the patch? They're letting the election take place without the patch being corrected and they're not even telling you about the problem?
Well, finally, Rand, we were able to make sure that is occurring now, and we're getting that now. But as late as last December, I filed intervention. I filed to intervene in the lawsuit in Georgia, and I was opposed by not only the defendants in the case. I was opposed by the Secretary of State in Georgia. I wanted the judge to give me access to the Haldeman report so that I could know what the vulnerabilities are for our early voting machines. I felt like I deserved that. And now the judge denied me that and said, go hire the consultant yourself. And it's like, well, why should I have to hire them for something that everybody else already knows? And why should I have to spend the taxpayers' dollars, of which I've already got a contract? Why shouldn't the contractor come to me with this information? And so now all of a sudden there's dialogue. I have taken the company to task. You saw it on video prior to this with the Voting System Commission. I've done it in private meetings. I've had phone calls, and now they're reacting. But I'm 74 days out from early voting, and we're just now being able to deal with these issues.
And so you still have not, you still have not seen the Holderman report?
I still have not seen the Holderman report. The judge is still holding it hostage. And it's an Obama appointee.
And what would you be? Would you have the budget or be allowed to hire Mr. Holderman directly to do the work in your state, and then do that and then release it to the nation?
So I've already assigned a contract with Dr. Holderman.
Oh, good.
The question is that will he get in trouble with the court if he gives me more details than he's supposed to? So we're walking a fine line. And what the justice is, the system is supposed to do isn't doing it. And it's very frustrating. I know you hear it in my voice, and yeah. I know the people of Louisiana totally understand it. But there's something wrong with this process. So CISA got involved. The judge let CISA do a report on it. And CISA did as well as they could. And they were very cooperative with us, and they were very forthcoming with us. But I still don't have, I feel like I'm worried that there are still details that I don't have complete closure on that I need to deal with.
In other words, you could ask, you could still have vulnerabilities in your electronic voting machine that could be manipulating the votes or not calculating correctly and giving us the best results of the people, and you would not be aware of that based on the fact that they're keeping you in the dark.
That's correct. I would not be aware of it.
All right. Finally, I know it's his show. I'm sitting in for Mike Lindell and Lindell TV. But what do you think of the work Mike's been doing for the last 18 months? As a Secretary of State, what did you think when you first heard the things that Mike was raising, or the documentaries we produced and the TV we were doing? What were your first thoughts, and what are your thoughts now? Or were you always right there with a lot of what he was saying regarding or concerned about? Were you concerned then, or was it like all the rest of us? It was just like an education process? Or did you come in as Secretary of State with a bunch of questions already? And then did you have those facts validated once you got into the office?
Well, I will say this. You know, I was first assistant prior to becoming Secretary of State. So okay. I had a higher level of confidence in the system that we have and the processes and procedures. Our partnership with our local election officials. I will say this, post 2020, I was probably as defensive as any other election administrator, especially for our state, because we really didn't see any problems. But as time went on, and as we went through a grueling legislative session right after the 2020 presidential election, and we were, by the way, we were trying to update our voting system as early as January a year ago, over a year ago. Actually, we've been trying to update our system since 2018, prior to my taking office. And so when we attempted to do that, we got slammed. I got slammed by patriots all across our state and with concerns. And I wasn't really understanding the concerns. But it took a time of education. I kept my doors open. I kept my eyes open. I kept my ears open. I kept my phone open. And I began meeting with patriots across the state. And as I learned more and more information, individuals like Mike and others, I've talked to countless numbers of folks all across the country who have been delving into these issues. And I don't throw them off immediately, because quite frankly, maybe there are issues that I'm not seeing, and there are definitely concerns. And when there's any segment of the population that's concerned about our elections, we as election officials ought to be listening, because we work for them. And quite, it doesn't matter if they're on the left or the right. I've been sued so many times by left organizations because they don't like what I do, or they don't like the laws that are on the books and they want them changed. Well, that's no different than what the patriots are saying all across this country. We want to make sure that our elections are transparent, that they're honest, that they're accurate. And if there's any issue with automation, with voting machines, then it ought to be forthcoming. And I've told CEOs of at least two companies, y'all have to be more transparent. this is not going an issue that's going to solve itself, because if you don't become more transparent in how your systems operate, people are not going to trust your product. This is such a niche market, and when you only have five major players in it in terms of voting machines or some type of voting system, the people aren't going to trust it. They don't trust it now. And if you don't come forth and we're not more transparent in how things operate and what the code is and how the machines operate, et cetera, then we're all in trouble. You're going to go out of business and our republics are going to go to hell in a handbasket. That's not acceptable.
Absolutely not. Wow. 40 minutes and none of this was rehearsed. You didn't know what was coming. You're a very straightforward, transparent guy. We appreciate your willingness to talk to not only the voters of Louisiana tonight, but all across the nation and set the example for other secretaries of state. Thank you, Secretary Ardoin. We really appreciate your time. Great respect for you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you.
You're welcome.
God bless.
You're welcome anytime. God bless you. All right. What a great interview. Secretary Ardoin of the great state of Louisiana. And maybe that could be and it should be a great example for other secretaries of state, right? Wow. All right. Well, I'm Brandon House in for Mike Lindell on the Lindell Report. Mike is in transit tonight, flying. We thought maybe we could make connection with him by Skype. I didn't think the signal would hold, but we gave it a shot. But joining me now is Garland Favorito of Georgia, voter GA. Garland was isn't he an incredible example to the other secretaries of state?
I've just been speechless listening to him for ever since the beginning of the interview, and I keep comparing Secretary Ardoin with Secretary Ravensburger in Georgia, and they're just complete polar opposites in their viewpoint on election integrity.
Well, on a personal level, he's the kind of guy you'd gladly take to dinner and have a great, great personal conversation with. He just seems very much one of the people. Unlike Brad Ratzenberger, who has his nose stuck in the air from all the interviews I've seen.
Well, we did. I did actually have lunch with Brad before he ever became Secretary of State. We explained to him, don't buy an unverifiable voting machine. But he did. So it didn't do any good to kind of go to lunch with him. So.
What particular things stuck out to you in my interview? Do you have any? Did you take any notes? Did you write anything down?
Well, I was kind of flabbergasted. But, well, first of all, the first thing that stuck out, we do have an update that broke last night on the Curley v. Raffensperger case and the Halderman report that Secretary Ardoin was talking about and what he's trying to get. And Judge Totenberg, who had stayed the motions for 5 months, has now rejected them all and now says that they're too close to the election to do anything after they have sat on them for 5 months. So she is refusing to release the Halderman report officially the state of Louisiana, but all the others who have sued or being sued by Dominion, of course, that includes Mike Lindell, OAN, and so on and so on. So she is afraid that the system, the report can be used for hacking, while at the same time she's saying that no, you can't.
Are you telling me she's saying the system isn't hackable while she's afraid the information in the report might make it hackable?
Well, right. She doesn't want the system to be hacked for the election. But it's just it's a contradiction in terms when you read this. I haven't even had a chance to read the whole thing yet, but I had one of the attorneys brief me on it today. And it's just kind of humorous. So she continues to hide this report from the people, not only in, virtually all across America. And, obviously, Dr. Halderman has said that the ballot marking devices are indeed hackable. But what's interesting about this, and I still continue to, I'll keep saying this every time I get a chance, but we proved on your show, Brandon, that The electronic ballot images used to produce the results for the 2020 Fulton County were actually manipulated and electronically altered prior to certification. So that evidence, which I'm going to be going providing again this weekend in Missouri to for the whole world to see, really eliminates the need for any more academic reports that saying that, yeah, it can be hacked. I mean, CISA has already admitted that, as you explained, and the secretary explained, that they've identified eight problems with the BMDs, and they recommend unsealing ballots and conducting audits, which is what we're trying to do here in Georgia, but we've been prevented by Secretary of State Ravensburger from doing that, just as we, as other states have had the same problem. So we all need a Secretary of State like Secretary Ottewin, who can come in and actually run an honest Secretary of State's department. It would just be so incredibly refreshing if that happened.
Indeed. What does Georgia, forgive me for not remembering 31 states, does Georgia take part in ERIC?
Yes, and that was the other thing I wanted to mention to you. So,
And by the way, when I said 31 states, I meant 31 states that take part in ERIC, not 31 states in the U.S. I don't want to get into the Barack Obama, where, what did he say, how many states there were, 55 or something, 57 or something?
57. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm talking about the 31 states involved with ERIC. Okay.
Yeah, and Georgia is one of those, and we have argued in court, we have a pending lawsuit, not so much about ERIC, but what Secretary Ravensburger did with Salesforce. The same principle applies. The secretary did not have authority to outsource voter registration database or data to a third party. That includes ERIC, it includes Salesforce, it includes the MTX contractors. He did not have authority to do that. Under Georgia law, we have sued to try to stop that, and we have yet to get a hearing on that case yet, and it's been at least probably 4 months or so since we have filed that case to stop it.
Anything else stand out in my interview with Secretary Ottewin?
Well, the thing that kept standing out to me over and over again was how just down to earth and honest this man is compared to what we have here in Georgia. Not only do we have the Secretary of State in a cover-up, but it involved the Attorney General. The governor didn't want to do anything. And we've had two egregious decisions in state courts that just violate all sorts of precedents and procedures. And I just keep coming back to so many of the things that he said and wondering, why is it that the Louisiana Secretary of State is all about what we want, and it's honest and common sense to almost anyone who's listening, but yet the other Secretary of States, like Brad Ravensburger, are so adamantly opposed to the basic principles, like what you mentioned, like election transparency. No one in their right mind could argue with election transparency, as the Secretary mentioned and you mentioned, but yet here we have in Georgia, we're in a fight with not only the Secretary of State, but the Attorney General and the Lieutenant Governor, just simply to get the ballots unsealed. And that's what virtually every legislator, every Republican legislator in the state of Georgia wanted, and they hold the majority, and they were blocked by, in this case, the Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, this is when you guys were like 30 seconds from taking care of some serious legislation, and the Lieutenant Governor reached over, picked up the phone, and your governor shut down the session.
Yeah, literally. That's what happened. It's just bizarre, and I think of how much better it could be with, maybe we'll get the secretary to come over and move to Georgia here, and then after his term is up.
Do you think Brad Ravensburger would ever come on and let me interview him the way Secretary Ottewin just did?
Great question, Brandon. He did go on to John Frederick's show one time. John's a conservative radio host.
Yeah, I was with John last week in Dallas.
Yeah, he does a Real America voice broadcast. And I don't think that Brad realized what he was getting into because it was 2 hours of grueling questions.
2 hours?
Yeah, so John questioned him very strongly for over a half an hour, and then he took almost an hour and a half of very tough questions, including one or two from me. And I think it was just a grueling process that Brad went through. So I don't know. You have a good question. You can always call up and ask.
Let's see if we can send over an invite. And if you get a chance, since he does know you personally, let him know that, you know, you've been in our studio and he can come in person. You know, I'm sure he could have some Memphis barbecue with us. And it's not, you know, it's a quick flight or drive and or by Skype. But let him know, hey, House is a nice guy. I will respect him. I respect the office, but we'll just ask questions that he can answer.
Well, the problem is I don't think he's going to take my word for anything because I'm right at the top of his blacklist right now.
I wonder why that would be. How many lawsuits have you filed against him?
We have six lawsuits right now. Well, actually five lawsuits and another pending action, which is a demand letter, which we are apparently going to have to file a sixth suit. Which that would be against the state election board, which is under, really it's under the control of the Secretary of State's legal counsel. So I think he's tired of hearing my name.
Well, I never get tired of saying your name. You have one of the funniest last names to say. Now, have you had the chance to read the article at thefederalist.com about Eric?
No, I was fascinated by that, Brandon. I was trying to dig into that while you were explaining it to the secretary.
Well, let me read the headline to you and hit some points for you to respond to. Democratic mm-hmm. operatives control voter rolls in 31 states, report shows, by Victoria Marshall, August 11th. That's yesterday. And left-wing operatives are working overtime to accomplish their partisan goals and drive Democratic voter turnout. And they go on to talk about Eric and David Becker, who I've been researching. And, of course, David Becker is a left-winger, and he helped to start, according to this report, he helped to start Eric. He helped to start it, I think, in 2012, if I remember correctly. Yeah. He organized the creation of Eric in 2012, though Becker officially left in 2016, public records show he's continued to play a strong role. Well, he's involved with People for the American Way. He's been with People for the American Way, which is Norman Lear behind, you know, All in the Family and Maude and all these other shows. And People for the American Way was started in 1981 to counter the religious right and the people that had put Ronald Reagan in power. And so here's David Becker starting Eric, and he's working with one of the most liberal progressive organizations in the country. And now we got 31 states working with Eric. And then we go on to find out that Eric and SEER, which that's the Center for Election and Innovation and Research, getting all this Zuckerberg money. And so, I mean, then you go on to find out that they don't clean their voter rolls, that they got way more people on their voter rolls then they have eligible voters in many, many of the states. Judicial Watch study found 353 U.S. counties had 1.8 million more registered voters than eligible voting age. And then we found out 7 of the 8 states that are Eric members that have this problem where they have registration rates exceeding 100,000 are Alaska, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Then we go on to find out in September 4, 2020, email sent to Georgia Secretary of State's office, former CIRIC employee Jenny Lovell explains how Georgia's eligible but unregistered or EBU data must be sent to Eric before it's transferred to CIR. Quote, I've just finished randomizing your EBU list to get them to you. We'll simply reverse the transfer process. I'll send the files to Eric and they'll get them to you, end quote. Another email obtained by Veritas Voter shows Becker emailing Eric members states on April 17, 2020, explained that, quote, SEER is planning to help you coordinate your Eric EBU outreach this year. So your state's even mentioned in here.
Well, that's right. And also the article points out that this Becker originally received funds from George Soros.
That's right.
Which I think was very important. And then also Brad Raffensperger outsourced the other part of our voter registration database to Salesforce, whose CEO, Mark Benioff, sits on the World Economic Forum board, which was funded by George Soros.
Yeah, because it says here that Becker worked as a lobbyist for People for the American Way, a George Soros-funded advocacy group. Then in closing, what else is interesting about this article is they have this Revere, quote, disinformation, end quote, campaign. Another unsettling public record discovery is a new program by SEER to combat so-called disinformation. According to documents obtained from the Georgia Secretary of State, SEER is developing a free service that will allow states to communicate with voters via text and email to fight what it calls disinformation. Per Becker in the Georgia Freedom of Information Act documents, quote, SEER has built a new secure electronic messaging tool called Revere, which will enable states to draw on phone numbers and email addresses contained in the voter file and send text and emails and even voicemails to any set of voters. It appears as what they're doing is if we say something they deem disinformation, or you in Georgia there, Garland, say something, then I guess they can, in Georgia, use the SEER system, the Revere system, and then put out the information to counter your so-called disinformation. So that's troubling.
Yeah, exactly. And all of this, we believe, violates Georgia law. And we have sued to stop this mess. And it seems obvious that it's going to be used for partisan, it could be partisan get out the vote efforts, or as you said, for to counter honest folks who are coming out with the truth about Georgia elections and elections in other states. Pretty disturbing stuff. I thought it was a great article.
Yeah, it is. All right, so Garland, you're going to be with us next Saturday and Sunday in Springfield, Missouri, for the Moment of Truth Summit hosted by Mike Lindell, correct?
That's correct, Brandon. And on Saturday, we're going to be talking about all the incredible anomalies in Georgia. But on Sunday, we're going to, as I understand it right now, the schedule still hasn't been confirmed yet, but I'm going to prove that the 2020 Fulton County election results were electronically altered before certification.
Mm-mm. Wow. Well, Garland, you're a great, great patriot. We appreciate all you're doing. Safe travels to Springfield, Missouri. We look forward to meeting you there, broadcasting you from the main platform, and then also getting you in our second studio. We're going to have two news desks, one on the main stage, and then we'll have one off to the side where we can put a lot of interviews in the can. That way we can keep streaming live without interrupting anything, but then do interviews off to the side, and we can bring those to folks later. So we're going to get a lot of mileage and a lot of content out of those 2 days. We look forward to having you on the main stage and then in our broadcast booth as well.
I'm looking forward to being there. We'll be coming in early on Friday.
Awesome. Thank you, Garland. Thank you for all you do. VoterGA.org, VoterGA.org. Thank you, Garland.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right, folks. Now, before we go, let me tell you a couple things. Not only mark your calendar for that Saturday and Sunday of next weekend, the 20 and 21, but Friday, we anticipate Friday doing a lot of pre-broadcasting from there as well. We may even do a little bit on Thursday, but certainly Friday, pre-broadcasting, getting ready for the big show on the 20th and 21st. Tweet, text, email, Facebook, Getter, call people, let them know. It's going to be a big deal. Solid content, solid experts, lots of data. You don't want to miss it. And we're going to carry it here. Now, again, we've got to take our whole crew. We just got back from Dallas, folks. We're exhausted. We have literally been broadcasting for 2 weeks straight without a break. I hope we get a little break tomorrow. I know we'll be carrying some special coverage tomorrow related to Englebrook and True the Vote. But I hope we get a little break tomorrow to rest up, because we've been broadcasting nonstop. As you know, we were just at CPAC. But we got to pack up all this big expensive equipment once again, get it to Springfield, Missouri, set it all up, get our two news desks, one on the main stage, one our secondary broadcast booth for putting interviews of all these movers and shakers and influencers and legislators and cybersecurity experts, etc., putting interviews with them in the can. Well, if we have them there in person, we might as well grab a lot of information from them, right? And then we can bring that to you in the subsequent days. Now, all that costs an incredible amount of money, not to mention the bandwidth bill. And we put that out to you and cover that bill. It's free for you to watch. So how do we pay for it all? You are our supporters, and you can support us and get something in return. Please go to MyPillow.com. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattress toppers, robes. Use that promo code L77 at MyPillow.com. And then also the My Coffee. We just made some while ago. The My Coffee by Mike Lindell. You can get it at MyStore.com. MyStore.com. Use the promo code L77 to save and support what we're doing. For Mike Lindell and Brandon House, take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.